Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for listening. And today I'm joined by Pastor Adrian Mills, who has joined me before on Front Porch Talks. But if you don't know who Pastor Adrian is, he's the executive pastor for us here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. And he's joining me today because at the time of this recording, Dad is out of town. Pastor Adrian, how are you doing today?
Good, Grayson. Thanks for inviting me to join you.
It's good to have you today, Pastor Adrian. Just start off by telling us what we're going to be talking about today, scripture-wise and topic-wise.
Yeah, I want to share a little bit today from the overflow of my heart. We've been spending a lot of time in the book of Philippians, and we'll be spending a lot of time over this fall semester. One of my roles that I serve at the church is I oversee our life groups, our small group structure. And this fall, we're studying the book of Philippians. Now, I didn't write the curriculum, but I did help participate in the curriculum that we put together for our life groups. And so in the process of putting all that together, and now in the process of those lessons being shared with all the life groups, we're studying Philippians. In fact, on Sunday mornings throughout the month of October, we're talking about Philippians. And so this is a book that I've been reading a lot, praying a lot through, and every time God's got something different. And so today I really just want to encourage you. The words I'm going to share in just a few minutes from Philippians chapter 3, if you want to turn there, I pray it encourages you. It's really simple and nothing too profound, but it encourages my heart. I want to start by just acknowledging the author of this book of Philippians is Paul, you know, of course, but he's writing from jail. He's writing from prison. And so it's easy sometimes to read the book of Philippians and I don't know, maybe you've read it on a nice greeting card or bookmark in your Bible, and we kind of look at it as very happy and joyful, and it is a book of joy, but sometimes we forget that the author of Philippians is facing death. He's basically on death row, chained to prison guards. And so he's going to talk in Philippians chapter 3 about this journey, about this race that he's running. And I think when we remember that he's basically facing death, coming to the end of it all, I think that only adds more meaning and purpose to the words that he speaks. But before we look into the Philippians chapter 3 today, I want to tell you the story of a man named Cliff Young. Now, that may not mean anything to you, that name Cliff Young. I don't think by any means it's a household name. But Cliff Young, it's just an interesting story. In the year 1983, Grayson, I won't ask how old you were in 1983, but in the year 1983, Cliff Young decided to embark on one of the biggest endurance races in the world. 543 miles. Now, that sounds like a long time to drive in your car. I can't imagine running that far. But sure enough, Cliff Young entered this race from Sydney, Australia, all the way to Melbourne, Australia. So significant part of the country there you're traveling through in 543 miles. There were 150 different runners that registered for the event. And I want you to picture, if you can, I don't know how much experience you've had with running or just watching people that do, but they've got their gear on and their outfits and their equipment, and you've got special shoes and shorts and the shirt that you wear, and you might have, you know, special music you want to listen to, and so you've got your earphones in and everything ready. And off to the side, if you can picture a 61-year-old potato farmer and a sheep herder showing up to this event. And if you can imagine somebody that's a potato farmer and a sheep herder, real blue-collar kind of worker, didn't have the fancy clothes or the equipment, and he shows up. In fact, Cliff didn't even really have a lot of teeth. He was a sight for sore eyes. And so a few in the group started to even snicker, like, who is this guy? You know, is he lost? Does he know what he's signing up for here? And sure enough, he approached the starting line to begin this race wearing overalls and galoshes and work boots. I mean, talk about somebody who does not look the part. And so, as you can imagine, the race begins. And to race that many miles doesn't just take hours, it takes days. And so, sure enough, After 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes, the first person from this race crossed the finish line. And would you believe, to everyone's shock, it was Cliff Young. No one could believe it. In fact, he had not just won the race, but he had beaten the record. And the next person, second place out of this 150 people, came over 9 hours later. Incredible story. And you may say, well, how in the world did that happen? How in the world did somebody who didn't have the right equipment on and probably hadn't trained that well? And, well, you may not realize, but Cliff was a farmer, and oftentimes to get from one part of his field to the other, he didn't have fancy equipment, and so he would just run to get from one place to the other. And it wasn't a nice-looking run. It was kind of a shuffle that he would use to get back and forth, but that's what he would do to get from one place to the other. And in fact, as Cliff set out on this journey, there was one little important piece of information that they didn't tell him. And that was that he was supposed to stop and sleep. Now think about this. When you run a race, most of us don't think about stopping to do anything. But on a race that would last 543 miles, you have to stop. And so most runners would run for 12 hours and stop and take a break for a few hours and rest. Run for 12 hours, stop. But nobody told Cliff that. So even though he was slow and even though it was kind of a shuffle, he just continued to run and run and run for 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes. And believe it or not, Cliff Young won the race. That's a really interesting story. It's almost unbelievable. If you want to look up the story, it really is true. But I just tell you that story to tell you that running a race is important. And oftentimes, I know the old story of tortoise and the hare, and but oftentimes, there's really important things in running a race. Sometimes it's not so much the clothes you're wearing or the gear you've got on, but there's some critical things. And so with that story in mind, with Cliff Young in mind, I want us to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And Grayson, you're sitting here with me. If you don't mind, I don't know what version you've got there in front of you, but could you read verses 12 through 16 of Philippians chapter 3?
Yep, I'm reading from the God's Word translation of Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 says, "It's not that I've already reached the goal or have already completed the course, but I run to win that which Jesus Christ has already won for me. Brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I do. I don't look back. I lengthen my stride, and I run straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly call offers in Christ Jesus. Whoever has a mature faith should think this way, and if you think differently, God will show you how to think. However, we should be guided by what we have learned so far."
I think as you read through this passage, and again, remember, the person writing this is in jail. It's Paul. And the story doesn't end well for Paul, by the way. He may not know that he's going to be beheaded, but certainly he knows that death could be coming soon for him. And these are the words of a man in prison writing. And there's a lot of things you can observe as you read this. There's a lot that you can say. You could say that it's important to know that there is a goal, that when we run, we don't just run aimlessly, that there's something that Paul is focused on here. I think that's important. Also, you can notice that there's a specific course that you take. There's a process for going through this, and I think all of that is really important and something maybe at a later time and come back and talk about. But specifically today, I want to talk about direction, that word direction. Andy Stanley, who's a well-known pastor and leader in the church, says this, that your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. Now, as I say that, I don't think anybody listening says, "Oh, I've never thought of that." Of course you know that. You know that if you're driving straight in your car, maybe as you listen to this, you're driving north, and that's going to determine your destination. You're going to end up on a path that's north. But think about this practically in our lives. So many times, and I've worked with teenagers or adults or other people, and sometimes we get in hard places, and sometimes we talk about, well, I never intended to get here. My motives were good. Or talking about somebody else, "Oh, he has a good heart. I don't know how this happened." But the problem with that statement is it's not our intentions that determine our destination. It's not our heart or how you feel about something. It's your actions, your direction. And so oftentimes if we're to look at the direction of our lives, it's not our intentions that determine where we're going to end up. It's not even the things that we hope will happen. Oh, my goals and my dreams will determine. No, it's the actual direction. It's the actual steps that you are taking, the action that you are taking. And so oftentimes I'll stop and say, well, look at your life right now and look at the decisions you're making. That's going to determine your destination, not just what you want to happen or what you hope will happen, but what you're actually doing. And so as we think about that, I want to talk about two specific points. And then Grayson, we'll close maybe. We can dialogue a little bit about this and what you think about this. I want to look first at verse 14 that we read in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to reread it just for a second. It says, I run straight towards the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly call offers in Christ Jesus. I want to focus on those three words for a minute. I run straight. Well, this is really obvious. If our direction determines our destination, and you remember in geometry, the quickest way to get from one point to another is a straight line. We know that running straight is important. In fact, why would you not run straight? Why would you ever choose to run in a picture this now? You're taking off, you're running a race, and you're instead of going straight with everybody else, you start going to the right or going to the left. Everybody knows that's not the most efficient way to run a race. So why is it that we would choose to not go straight? Well, there's a lot of answers to that. I think we get distracted. I think we get busy. I think we get our focus on things that are not as important. But I think what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12 is really important. He understood that this is a race too. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Says, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. Remember, we're talking about the things that prevent us from running straight. Listen to what he says in Hebrews 12, the sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus. Don't forget that. Verse 2, we must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on a cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. Now he holds the honored position, the one next to God the Father on his heavenly throne. Think about Jesus who endured such opposition from sinners so that you don't become tired and give up. I want you to think about Hebrews 12, verse 2. We fix our eyes on Jesus. If you were to say, Adrian, what is the number one reason that we don't run straight? What is the number one reason that we lose sight? And I would say it's because we forget to fix our eyes on Jesus. How is it that Paul, who's sitting in a prison cell, can talk about having joy and hope? And how is it that he doesn't get overwhelmed by the circumstances around him? I mean, Paul, don't you realize that you might die in this prison? Well, it's because he's running straight. He's focusing straight ahead. He's fixing his eyes on Jesus. Perhaps one definition of sin in our lives is anything that keeps me from focusing on Jesus. Now, wait a second, Adrian. There's a lot of things that I like to do that aren't sin. And you mean, that fantasy football, because I like to do that, can be a sin? Well, I'm just saying anything in our lives that we allow to take our focus off of Jesus can be considered sin. Why? Because Paul understands, as he writes in Philippians, that we must run straight. We don't have time to get distracted. We can't afford to get distracted by the things around us. That our focus is critical. And that doesn't mean we can't have fun. That doesn't mean that we have to stop every single moment and everything has to be so serious. But oftentimes, I think when I look at young people, we don't understand how much each decision we make impacts the decisions ahead of us. Sometimes you might be listening and you might say, well, I'm not that young anymore. But you may not understand that the decisions you make today can have an eternal impact. And so let's not get distracted by the things that aren't important. You say, well, what are those things? How I feel. Sometimes that's not important. And now I'm not saying that to be mean. And you may not feel well. You might be listening to this. You might be sick. You might have some circumstances right now that are preventing you from feeling your best. And I care about that. I'm compassionate about that. But I don't think our feelings should dictate the direction that we go. So I don't want to pray today. I don't want to seek the Lord. I just don't feel like it. Well, to run straight means that we fix our eyes on Jesus. What about financially when you're struggling? Well, you know, it's easy for you to say, Adrian, you don't know my... You're right, I don't know your circumstances, but if we fix our eyes on Jesus, even in our circumstances, even when we don't feel like it, we learn to run straight. And Grayson, the other thing I think that's really important here is the verse right before that. So in verse 14, it talks about, I run straight. But I want to talk about verse 13, and then I want to get your opinion and your feedback. Because right before he says he runs straight, listen to what he says in verse 13 of Philippians 3. Brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet, but this is what I do. I don't look back. And so finally, I want you to think of those four words. The first three words we focused on is, I run straight. But the next four words in the verse that precedes it, verse 13 of Philippians 3, I don't look back. You can't stay focused on the prize if you're constantly looking back. Think about it in a race. Think about real practically. Somebody that's running a race, not only are they focused straight ahead, but if they constantly turn backwards, if they constantly look behind them, then it's going to affect their direction. They're not going to stay in a straight line anymore. What are they going to do? They're going to start turning, or they're going to start veering one way or the other. Why? Because they're constantly focused on what's behind them. Brothers and sisters, this is what it says. I can't consider myself a winner yet, but this is what I do. I don't look back. I lengthen my stride and I run straight. So we see that these two are very connected, that at times as believers, we can't be prisoners of the past. Now, that doesn't mean we don't learn from the past. We learn from the past, but we can't be prisoners of the past. And so I would challenge you today, if you are spending a lot of your time in energy looking at the past, then you might miss out on an opportunity that God has for you today or in the future. Why? Because Paul says, I can't look back. I don't look back. I don't think about the things, even the good things. And we want to learn from those too, and we want those things to encourage us, but we have to live today. I know a lot of believers, they love the Lord with all their heart, but they're so busy living in the past on how things used to be. And I love that. I think we should celebrate that. But they might bemoan, oh, if things were just how they used to be. You know, when I was a boy, the church was really on fire. And when I was a boy, the church... And I understand that. But the reality is that we have to run the race that's set before us today. So we have to stop looking back and we have to run straight. I love this. When you think about not being a prisoner of the past, listen to how Paul closes the passage that we read in verse 16. He closes by saying, however, we should be guided by what we have learned. In other words, it would be foolish to not learn from the past. Think about a race. If I'm running and I'm going through a difficult journey, a difficult time in my race, it would be silly that I don't learn from that. But we continue to not make that our focus, that we learn from what has happened in the past. We continue to run straight and we don't look back. Now, Grayson, I know I said a lot when I shared that, but I want you to share from your perspective as you hear that and think about the race that you've run in your life or that you've seen other people run. How do those two ideas that Paul encourages us with, that I run straight and I don't look back, what do those things mean to you?
Well, I mean, the Bible says that we'll have troubles and we'll have hard times. Things aren't always going to be easy. So just keeping our eyes on Jesus, I know that was in that passage, keeping our eyes on Him, that's the main thing. Just knowing that we have a better life for us, we're promised that even if things don't work out for us in this life, then certainly we're promised eternal life with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that should keep us running straight,
right?
And that should keep us on the path. I mean, and certainly we should want to obey God for other reasons. He gave His life for us, so certainly we should want to live our lives for Him, just to show our gratitude for Him sending His one and only Son, Jesus, to this earth to die for our sins, die on a death that He didn't deserve to die. And not looking back, it means, you know, I mean, we can learn, like you said, we can learn from the past and we can use that to do better in the future, but we don't want to dwell on past mistakes.
Right.
We want to come to God with those and ask Him for forgiveness of those and to help us change and do better. We don't want The devil wants us to look back. The devil right. wants us to have regrets and to be discouraged and feel like, oh, well, you know, God will never forgive you for that, or he can never redeem that. But those are just lies of the enemy. And God wants us to focus forward, to run straight and not to get off track, so to speak. The right. devil also wants us, he doesn't want us to run straight. He wants us to get off the path, like you were said. Anything that distracts us from Jesus could be considered sin. And it's not necessarily that those things are always bad. It's just that they distract us
right.
from God's will for our life, or distract us from God's best. And that's what the enemy wants for us. So in order to counteract that, what God wants is for us to keep our eyes on him and to keep running straight and to keep going and persevering no matter what circumstances we go through in life, just relying on him and trusting on him to get us through those hard times in life.
Yeah, while you said that, I think sometimes I think the enemy's desire isn't to try to get us into some great sin. I mean, surely he wants to do that. But sometimes I think the enemy, if it can just keep us busy and distracted, it's just enough to keep our focus off Jesus and to focus on all the other things that he doesn't become a priority. And as you were talking, I was just thinking, in my life, really, I've witnessed the power of this idea of not looking back. Time not too long ago where Lauren and I were just praying for God to lead us, and we felt like he was telling us to do some things in obedience, and I was just overcome with some fear from the past, from the way that things have turned out in the past, or my fear of how things have happened in the past. And honestly, Grayson, it kind of paralyzed me. I was living in the past. I think I had learned some from the past, but when this opportunity came forward, all I could think of is how in the past things had gone wrong for me. And in the moment, I felt like the Lord told me, he said, Adrian, even though the things in the past didn't go how you thought they would, I was still present there. And look at your life now. In other words, I felt like the Lord said, stop looking back. Look today. Look what's ahead of you. And as I looked at my life today, I realized God's really blessed me. And I looked at all these areas of my life that God has really, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, I don't have everything together, but I'm saying there's a lot of blessing in my life today. And as I looked around and experienced that, I felt like God say, see, even when things didn't go how you wanted them to, even though you experienced some rough patches along this journey, this race, look at your life now. Stop looking back at what went wrong, but look at today and realize all the blessing that you've experienced. And that really changed my perspective and helps me relate a lot to this passage.
That's a great point, Pastor Adrian. A lot of times we look at things as a glass half full, so to speak, or half empty, I guess, instead of half full. We look at the negative instead of the positive. We might look at the bad situations,
right.
but we forget the good that maybe God got out of those hard situations. And as we're talking about this topic, I was thinking about something that I saw on a church sign recently. It said, faith, it doesn't make things easy, but it makes things possible.
Right. I like
so
that.
Having faith in him doesn't always mean it's going to be easy sledding or easy going. We're still going to have struggles. We're still going to have hard times. But knowing that we have God with us and we can rely on him, then that makes it possible to get through those hard times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why this encourages me. And I think it's encouraging, too, because the person writing this had hard times, is experiencing a hard time as he writes it. Sometimes I think we forget that the Bible's true, that it really happened. We read these verses and we think, oh, well, you know, they don't know what I'm going through. Well, you know, Paul was on death row in a prison. I think he kind of knew some hard times. I think he'd experienced, you know, the rock bottom. And so that encourages me that whatever I'm going through, I mean, compared to that, if Paul can find joy in it, then I think, yeah, there's hope for me in the midst of it.
Well, Pastor Adrian, thank you for joining me today. Any other final thoughts? And then I'll have you pray before we wrap up today's broadcast.
No, I just want to encourage anyone that's listening today. I know the journey can be hard. I know there's a temptation to look back, but I want to encourage you today to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and in doing that, you will run straight. You will run this path, and sometimes it's easy to compare my journey to others and say, well, why am I having to go through this? But I think the message for us is, you know, your job isn't to run the race that someone else has to run. Your job is to run the race that the Lord has set out for you. And if we believe that His Spirit is in us, which we do, then He's with you in this journey. He's already there with you. And His desire isn't that you have to keep looking back, but look forward and trust that the journey ahead will be a good journey. If you're still here, if you're still breathing, God's got a plan for you and a purpose for you and a good journey ahead. So let's embrace this journey and trust that we haven't arrived yet. That's what Paul said, but I press on. I look straight ahead and I don't turn back. And I pray that that encourages somebody else that's listening here today.
Well, Pastor Adrian, would you just mind closing us out in prayer, maybe related to the scripture verses that you read today, or just whatever's on your heart in relation to this topic?
Sure. Lord, I thank you for every person in the sound of my voice today. Pray that wherever they are and whatever they're doing, they would know that you love them. Sometimes when we focus so much on the past, we begin to doubt. We begin to not trust you. We begin to have unbelief in our lives, Lord. And I'm praying today, Lord, that as we commit to not live in the past anymore, but to trust you today, maybe there's some people listening today, Lord, that there's some hurt and pain from their past that they just don't understand. And I can relate to that. I can relate to some hurts in my life where I don't really understand your purpose in that, Lord. And maybe the hard reality for some of us is we're not going to quite understand. We're not going to quite have all the answers. But if we can rise above that and we can fix our eyes on Jesus and we can run straight, then we won't miss the purpose you have in the midst of our pain. So, Lord, I just pray for that. I pray for brokenness and hurt and things, Lord, that could overwhelm us and distract us. I pray for those that maybe they're not dealing with sin, but they're just busy. They're just distracted. I pray they would fix their eyes on you and that their new priority, Lord, would be running straight in this race that you have for them. And Lord, I just pray for the good things that you have in store for all of us. And I've just found that, Lord, that you never want me to be content with where I'm at now. You always want me to continue to grow. You always want me to continue to take a step. And as you do that, you have more blessings. You have more good things, Lord, that I haven't experienced yet for me. And every time I think, wow, I thought I'd experienced it all, and you've got something greater. So I pray for that, for fruit that you would bear in the lives of those that are listening today. We love you and we trust you in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining me today, Pastor Adrian, and thank you for sharing from Philippians. I know that this will be a blessing to the life groups, so I think hopefully it'll be a blessing to anybody who listened today here on WBTX. Thank you for sharing it with us.
All right. Thanks for having me, Grayson. Peace.
We pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks has been a half hour of hope for your life. We would also like to invite you to join us next Sunday right here on WBTX at noon, as Dad will be back with me on Front Porch Talks. And we just pray that you will spend some time, whether it be some quiet time with God or some time in devotion, or maybe you would like to reread the verses that we read. Once again, we read from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, and hopefully you'll get some encouragement from that today. I pray that you have a blessed week. May God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.